Anyway, parking.
Yeah. Where?
I went to South Kensington Station.
Where?
Because like
Jules South wanted Kensington to address Station. This bloke.
South Kensington.
I needed to, this needed to be.
Jules wanted to make discussion. This a genuine segment in the thing. I go, this isn't becoming a segment in the show.
What's it? What do you want to talk about?
Let's talk about parking.
Parking.
What are you talking about?
Parking.
Parking is not relevant.
Why not?
He goes, oh, he goes,
why not, bro?
He goes, what's
we'll
this?
Make
he goes,
it relevant.
He goes, this, he goes, Paisan. He goes, oh, he goes, I can't. I go, can't what? He goes, I need to talk about parking. I go, we've already got so hold much on, to talk about. Anyone's talking about
wanna,
parking?
You want
to
bring parking in as a proper segment?
No.
No. Just talk about it now.
Just to talk about, man. Not in the segment.
I just ignored him for ages.
Are you serious?
I'm already ignoring him.
Jules looked at me, expecting a response, but I just looked down, Joe, for ages.
Welcome to episode 2 of Almost Blues Brothers. I'm Joe. I'm back here with Dan and Jules. How are we today, lads?
I'm actually not too good, to be honest with you.
Why?
Well, I've got a bone to pick with you.
With me?
Yeah, with you.
Oh, this is going to be interesting.
This actually hasn't come up.
Nah, because Jules and I have spoken about this. Yeah? Now, there was no discussion as to why Joe's head was in the middle of the logo. Jules?
Thoughts? Concerns?
I've always been the spiritual leader of this group. What do you want me to say?
Is that true?
Am I not?
No.
No. I told you why. This is unfair. I told you why. I did the logo. I didn't want to put his face in the middle because then you would have cracked it.
Which is not
true.
I didn't
want to put your face in the middle because he would have cracked it.
I would have loved for Jules' face to be in the middle.
Why don't you like my face being in the middle?
I would have loved Jules'.
What about me? This doesn't matter, does it? You're actually fine.
I'm happy.
Yeah,
you're happy. Episode 1.
Hey, to be honest, I'm happy with whatever, boys. You know, just happy to be on the show.
That's good, man. Yeah. I'm glad. Episode 1 was a blast. Brothers. It was a genuine blast. All three of us want to give a big, big thank you to everyone for their support. We had a lot more support than what I think we initially thought we'd get on the first day, especially.
We were really happy with it. Well, when we did that recording, we were happy, but then to get the response was
amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And all the feedback and whatnot, we really appreciate it. So thank you very much to all the listeners. It's early days, but it definitely gives us motivation to keep going.
Yeah, well, hopefully, definitely. We made you laugh. We gave you a bit of info, and we can keep doing that. Hey,
yeah. Hopefully, we just made a day for everyone. You know,
that's it. So we're gonna get into the show. Before we do, you had a bone to pick with me, Dan, but we've got to address something.
Are we going to talk footy today?
We are, but we've got to address something. I listened back to episode 1. I know you did as well. And yeah. We called each other and we had a bit of a laugh.
We did. At our man, Jules.
The heads are turning directly at me.
Jules.
Talk to me.
When you speak, pronounce your words properly, please. For everyone listening, this is a primary school teacher of STEM.
We're worried.
I teach PE in STEM.
Which includes English, does it not?
Joe and I.
It doesn't.
Science, technology, engineering, and maths.
Regardless of that.
We're concerned for children.
The future generations of Australia are in your hands, and we're very concerned. So we need you to start pronouncing your words correctly. You said South Kensington Station instead of South Kensington Station.
Just literally 5 minutes ago.
Before we started. Just
not recorded.
I need you to focus.
I'll try my best. We'll see how
that's all we need.
That's a response.
That's actually what we need.
We give feedback.
And you take it on board.
And you take
I'll
it on
take
board.
Like the logo.
That's
hang,
it. Like the logo. So we'll get into the show. We've got a jam-packed show.
We've got
to try and fit it in. We're going to go through men's training block for the week. Bit of news. Just cover off some key things there. There were some jumper numbers released for the men's, which was awesome. Player profiles for the new women's recruits as we get into AFLW. We've got a snippet from one of the AFL women's blue baggers.
Yeah,
Brooke Walker. Works with Julian's mum, Grace Cassano, the Grange.
Yeah, yeah.
Bit of a shout out there. So we've got a couple of minutes from Brooke just on her thoughts on round one. And and reflecting on the preseason game from the Saints last week. We'll preview round one. We'll give our predictions against the filth, Collingwood. I know Lauren...
Don't even say the name.
Well, Dan, we're in a house where half of this house is actually Collingwood. Oh, is it not?
No. She's actually converted.
Is she converted?
Yeah.
Is she a member?
No.
She's a blue bagger.
Yeah.
I need to see that membership.
She actually originally went for Carlton.
I didn't give her a kiss on the cheek or say hello when I walked in.
I thought she was
a colleague with someone.
Oh, that's disgusting that you haven't done that.
I'll make sure I give her a big hug after the show.
Yeah, you can
do it. I like that.
Like Zach Fisher, I think, which is, for those kind of players, definitely necessary. Obviously, with that those lighter frames. So Brett
Stanton was talking about that, and he was saying that Russell's actually gone and even in COVID... targeted that to go, yep, by the time we get to preseason, I want him to be at the standard.
That's sensational.
To get ready to go. How
good is that? It's good. And it's good that he had that foresight, because last year, there were no reserves games. So these kids, like, they had these 14-man practice matches that were disgusting. Yeah. It was just a training drill. There was no intensity. If Russell's seen that for what it is and he's already started these boys on conditioning programs, that's top notch. That's what we're looking for. Dan, you touched on Walsh last week and his impact in 2021. His intent, from what we can see...
All reports are positive from what's coming out of the training ground from him.
Which is scary.
Which is scary and exciting.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know whether we touch on now, but Setterfield for me is someone that, again, positive reports, but excites me. Yeah, a lot.
Yeah, he's another one that you can see...
As an outside midfielder, what he did last year... I liked it. I like what I saw, especially last year.
Yeah, from what I can see in terms of the visuals that I've seen, he's put on a bit of size and he's looking very good. So
lean.
Very good.
Lean.
Do we go on with the injuries and how they're tracking?
I think so.
Yeah.
There's a couple that have come back.
I've heard Doherty trained today. Okay. And apparently he's just come off very good.
He's just come off ankle surgery.
Ankle surgery.
I think it was a clean out more than anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't a big operation. But from the reports that I saw a week ago or earlier this week, it was a few weeks away. But now, from what I've seen today, is he actually had I'm not too sure if it was a full training session, but it was definitely on the track, running with the
do you know what?
Within the groups in their training.
For the boys, how good would that be?
Oh, sensational.
That's for the boys to have him there.
It may not be a full preseason, like if he's just coming back into training now, like it might be.
But it's the presence.
But I'll tell you what, like compared to what he's had over the last 3 years, I don't even want to talk about it because it makes me sick to think back to a couple of years ago when I heard that news.
In terms of what he's been through.
So it's good to see him back. Cripper's back, shoulder injury, obviously we all know about. He was carrying that for most of last year. Sounds like he's back into 95% of his training block. So I think last year they tried to get him a little bit lighter. I think he dropped a couple of kegs to try and bring a bit more pace into his game. But with this program that Russell's put together, I think he's put size back on.
Yeah.
Who was it during the week that was saying that he's looking like he's going to be back to his best and that bull in the midfield?
I think
it was Stanton, maybe.
I think it was Stanton, from what I've seen. I think it's the right way to go about it with Cripper. I think he's a bull, and that's his... main thing that he can contribute to the team. He needs to be that player where he's inside, get the ball moving forward, dish it out to those runners that with good ball users. Now we do have them in the likes of Williams and Saad from off the half back. They're the players that we need, and even Samo.
Another
we
good player in their hands. That's there or thereabouts, Marchbank.
Yes.
Yeah, boys?
He's put in a good body of work. From what we know,
it needs more continuity.
Yeah, I think he's still a little while away. I'll be surprised if he plays round one, to be honest. I think the neck injury was massive.
Yeah.
He had injuries all of last year. Couldn't really find any continuity in the reserves in those 14-man practice matches.
Indoor matches.
If he...
he needs to go into the VFL.
I think
a good month or
he
so.
Needs he needs match fitness. He's been out of the game for too long. He's not like Doherty. I don't think he's like Doherty where he can come straight back in. I think Marchie genuinely needs to build up his match fitness. I'm excited for him to come back though.
He's slotted in there nicely.
We've missed him massively.
Yeah. He's slotted in there nicely.
Everyone forgets how good his intercept marking was. Like his intercept marking was phenomenal before.
I think
injury.
He complements the likes of Wiedering, Jones.
He doesn't play as a third tall.
No, he can even play on those small opposition players too. Yeah, so he's that kind.
He's versatile.
He can play tall, can play small, which obviously in today's game
is
great to see. So it helps a lot in terms of versatility of the players.
Couple others. I think Betts, there's a calf injury there. I think he's a couple of weeks away. He should be right for round one from what we're hearing.
He'll keep ticking.
Yeah.
He'll just keep ticking.
Ages like a fine wine. Eddie Betts. I just want to get to round one. I want to see Eddie in the pocket.
Baggy shorts.
I just want to see him kick the first. I'll cry. If he kicks the first goal, you'll probably see me cry.
I'm going to lift you up in the air.
Throw me. Like a baby.
Like Wolf of Wall Street.
Nick Newman, that knee obviously is progressing nicely. He could be thereabouts for round one.
Yeah, from what I've seen.
Where does he fit? Let's say he is ready. Does he fit in? Does he actually slot in if we're fully fit? And whose spot does he take? Because you've got Saad and Dock off halfback. They're a lock.
Yeah.
They're actually a lock.
And then you got Newman. Sorry, obviously you got Samo as well.
Williamson, Nunes, Walsh on the wing as well at times. Mm. Where does Newman actually fit in this squad?
Well, like you said, potentially do they move Samo half forward and there could be an opening there.
From what we understand, Samo, Dale Amos, the defenders coach, he's basically said Samo's training with the defenders.
Okay, so he's a lot.
He's playing halfback.
But when, in terms of
which makes me sick to my stomach. Yeah.
In terms of looking at the balance, though, you got obviously Simo, he's out.
Yeah.
Okay, and then you got Saad, he's in. So in terms of the balance of the players, unless Marchbank comes back in, then
you got a problem.
We're thinking. You know, up until then, I don't think there's much to worry about in terms of Samo.
But whose spot does he take? From round 22, you've got Nunes, you've got Williamson, you've got, and obviously Saad's going to come in, you've got Doc, you've got Samo, they're all played. Whose spot does he take? This is my point. Is it Nunes? Is Nunes at the bottom of that pile if Newman's fit? Or do you play Nunes because he had a great season?
Yeah.
Instead of that type of injury, though, does he need more game time? Is he going to be available for that round one?
And that's the question.
That's the question. Do you know
what? Sorry, if we have that dilemma. It's a good dilemma to have.
It is a very...
Let's say that.
It is. We haven't had the problem of depth for a long time. And the fact that we're having these conversations...
It's good.
It's actually
the fact that he's going to be ready by round one.
Potentially.
We've got players, I think, in terms of the players that can play in at the out 22. We've got about 26, 27 players.
Well...
From what I can see.
It's similar to what...
And then after that, it's all the youngsters.
It's similar to what Terry... It's similar to what Terry said on the Blue Broad live show on Friday. You want a top 30 like Richmond. They're the benchmark. They've got 30 players that can come in and out of that squad and play their role. We're probably at 26, 27.
Yeah.
And Newman's within that bracket, which is good. If he's a depth player and you're struggling to fit him in, keep him in the back pocket.
Competition is the best thing for a side.
Yeah.
You need competition in your side.
You definitely need to build that up. So then obviously when we go into the draft... Sorry, not into the draft music. When we go into the off season, we can actually try target some players and get some draft picks for those kind of players.
Jules caught himself before he
knew we're going to pounce.
Well, he almost.
I was ready, Jules, to have me.
The grammar was almost. It was borderline.
I'm all there.
Borderline illogical.
I'm all there.
But his recovery was sensational.
Very good. So that's it. For news from the men's, all seems to be going well. Open training, we still can't go because of COVID.
Yeah, not yet.
It'll be nice to get there once that opens up. Basically, we're looking for improvement from those players that are there that have been there for 4 or 5 years. And it sounds like, bowl reports, from what the club's telling us, and in pre-season, everyone's flying, as usual.
That's where we're happiest.
But this is when everyone's happy. It's all hope. There's no, you can't fail. You can't fail. So... it's good from the men's side. We'll talk a little bit about the women's leadership group from this week. There were some announcements, which was good to see ahead of round one next... tomorrow night. This is dropping on Wednesday, I just realised. So tomorrow night, we've got round one against the Filth, Collingwood, at
Scum.
At our spiritual home, Icon Park, Princess Park.
Can't wait to get back there.
Which is going to be...
Get your tickets Monday morning.
Well, if you have...
You'll see us there.
Monday's already passed by the time this goes up.
They'll see us there. We'll be loud.
But
we'll
if you've got a ticket, we'll be there. Come find us. Have a chat. We'd love to hear your thoughts on the women's group this year and how you think they're going to go.
We'll buy you a beer. Unless there's like 200 people come up to us, then you're on your own. I know I said that.
You can buy us a beer. How's that?
Dan's shout, so.
Dan's actually just shouted 200 people.
I actually wish I did a Jules and stop myself.
Leadership group, Jules, AFLW.
Yeah, so we got
Sam McClure over here. Jules, I need you to turn into Sam McClure.
I'll see what I can do, you know.
Report for me, please.
See what I can do. So we've got Harrington and Lyons, obviously co-captains for 2021. And then we've got, obviously, Downing and Stevens, who are part of the 2020 leadership group. And then we've got an addition of Darcy Vescio.
Yes.
Now, she was a part of the leadership group a few years back, but obviously now has joined this year. From all reports, it was a part of the players' voting system, which is excellent. And then what I'd love to see is in terms of...
Well, you and I were talking about this.
Yeah,
I know what you're going to say.
It before. What I'd love to see is we've got leaders all across the ground.
Yeah, sensational.
So we've got 1-4-50, obviously a few in the midfield, and obviously in regards to defence, we've got Harrington. So I think that is great to see, obviously in terms of directing the players in their groups.
Well,
so,
you need amongst the young side.
You need voices, right? You need voices. And if you've got voices, and I mean, leadership group's one thing, like that's great. You've got your leaders there officially. For me, you want to see, like, Jules, your girl, Georgia G, right? You want to see... Jules mentioned Georgia G a lot last week.
I reckon about 10 times.
The hype around Georgia G from Jules
is... We're going to tee up some for meeting there, Jules.
Through the roof.
In regards to the game last week, apparently she was inspirational.
But what you want to see is you want to see girls, like, some of the girls like Georgia G and even Mimi Hill from, like, the number 12 draft pick from last year.
All magnet.
You want to see these girls come in and actually have a voice. I understand we've got the official leadership group, but girls, everyone on the park plays a role as a leader. If you've got 18 leaders out there playing their role, it goes so, and I'll reference Richmond and their men's side again. That's the benchmark. All 18 players or 22 players on game day with the bench, they're all leaders in that side. And you look at every single one of those players and they look like a leader. That's what you want. That's what you want to see from these girls.
Yeah. The good thing about this leadership group here is that you look at any one of those players and they can win you a game.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
They can win you a game.
I mean, the fact that Vescio has been re-added, why was she ever out of it?
Yeah.
I love Das, man. Like, she's a freak. She is a freak. She's a match winner. She kicked 9 in the VFL a couple of years ago.
She didn't score the winner for their practice match, no. She scored 1, I think.
I think she kicked 1.
She kicked 1, yeah.
She definitely kicked 1.
But, you know, this
but it's even her involvement around the club.
Yeah.
Which is what I love to see.
She's been there from day one.
Almost
a veteran head at this point.
Season five.
Like, she's a veteran head.
We're going to label that.
You can. Yeah. You can. Yeah.
28 years old.
I'm not saying age. We don't talk about age when it comes to women, Jules. Look at the disrespect on this guy. Oh. Come on, man. Far out.
We'll have a big chat.
Age like fine wine.
We're
having a big chat after this.
No, but honestly, veteran head. She is. She's a veteran head in season five. And it's good to see her in the leadership group. I think Harrington, she's massive for us this year. Massive. She is our rock in defence. Cornerstone. If Harrington has a big year, we have a big year. Very simple.
Yeah. Yep. I think even in regards to Elisa Day, obviously we're going to get into her a bit later. Actually, next. But,
well, let's go into it. We're going to do a couple of player profiles for some of the new recruits.
Well, Elisa Day, I guarantee you that if she was at the club for a longer period of time, she'd be in that leadership group.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Let's,
because for the younger girls in that midfield to be learning off her, unreal.
Let's talk a bit about Elise. So... Let's give everyone some background on where she's come from.
Yeah, so obviously she's from Melbourne last year. 29 years old, obviously has a lot of maturity about her. So I'm talking off field as well, which is great to see. Obviously I've seen her in an open mic, not open mic, mic'd up.
See, this is what we're talking about.
Hey, I'd love to get up on an open mic. Bit of karaoke, done that before. Obviously in terms of that, so just her charisma. Which is excellent and it's great to see. You can see her involvement around the other players already, particularly the younger players. So I think that's only going to help.
She's super excited to be part of the group.
She loves it.
She's said it several times. She's really excited to be part of the group and I'm excited to see it.
How's that?
That's but
big.
She's a gun.
No, she is.
She's actually a gun.
She is. She's
in terms of her on-field exploits. Now, strong inside mid.
Ball winner.
Ball winner.
She wins her own ball. Simple.
And tackles.
Perfect replacement for Hosking.
Sarah Hosking.
Yeah. Okay, now, which is excellent. Average disposals, okay, last year was 17.4.
Yep.
Decent. Obviously in relation to AFLW football.
Very.
And then tackle average, 4.5 a game.
She's going at 5.
That's, yeah.
She's 5 going tackles a game, like, that's the pressure that you want. That's the intensity you
need that.
Yeah. I agree.
And the girls want one thing and one thing only. They want to win the whole thing this year.
Well, this is and actually... This is what I was going to ask. Is she someone that comes in, can she win us a flag?
Well, we've already said yes. Last week.
I think
I'm confused.
I think for us, yes. I think for us, she's a great addition in terms of the younger players.
Yeah.
Obviously, we've had those other experienced players as well in terms of our leadership group, but she is that extra addition that is the cherry on top, I think.
I agree. That's Aliso O'Day. Let's talk about the draft recruit, pick 12 from the Oakley Chargers.
Well, I said it before.
Mimi Hill. Absolute wing inside mid. Genuinely looks like a gun out of the blocks.
I've heard ball magnet.
Smooth operator. Yeah. She hits targets.
Silky.
Very silky.
Seen some highlights. Breakaway from stoppages is really good. Ball use is really good. Mm-hmm. She's got a bit of speed on her. This is what I'm talking about. It's been said that she was picked up because of her leadership as well.
Now, unreal.
Coming in, leadership qualities, it's what you want to hear.
Yeah, definitely.
It's giving me goosebumps. It's got a bit of Sam Walsh about it.
She's actually...
But I don't want to put that tag on her.
Not yet.
I don't want to put the pressure on her, but I'm saying from a leadership aspect, I like to hear that.
But even the girls expect her to come in and play a role.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think
how good she is.
She can start round one.
I want to see her.
I'm saying that because when she was in the under 18 carnival, okay, for the two games she did play, bottom major, mind you, averaged 25 disposals in the two games she played, all right, and 4 inside 50s.
Yeah.
Now, that is unbelievable, particularly as a bottom major.
Yep.
Okay. So,
big game player. Plus, we're saying she's clean with the ball. She gets 25 touches. Use the ball well.
Imagine the impact she can have.
Thanks for coming.
Inside 50.
Thanks for coming.
Targets.
Agree. Yeah. So we've said, I think we all think she plays round one. I'd love to see her line up in round one. I'd love to see her break the game open in round one.
She adds
can time. She be... So we had Prasparkas. I think it was in her second season. She won the best and fairest.
Yeah.
Can Mimi Hill... I hope I'm pronouncing her name right. Is it Mimi or Mimi?
Mimi.
Mimi.
Mimi. We'll go Mimi. I'll check it, but I need to get this right.
It's Mimi.
Has to can be. Mimi be that match winner that Prasparkas was for us in her second season, but in her first out of the blocks? Has she got that ability to just come in and be that X factor that these girls need to go to the next level and to win that flag?
I think she's got the makings. Let's see what she does. I need to see more.
Yeah, I think time will tell. We'll see. I reckon we'll see, particularly in the first few rounds, if she does play, we're going to be able to...
We can make an assumption.
Get an understanding
of
where she's at.
Next one off the list, Maddie Guerin.
Yeah, well, I want to just talk about her because she came from from
Melbourne
as well.
Yeah,
from Deers as well.
She obviously came with an ACL injury.
Mm-hmm.
But again, she's made out super powerful. Yeah, strong.
Yeah.
Really, really clean player as well.
Yeah. The performance guru at the club that's looking after AFLW has stated that she's flying. Now, she is flying because of her professionalism. Okay. So, in terms of professionalism, the reason why I'm saying that, obviously coming back from ACL, she did it in February last year. She has done everything that she needed to do to get back within the time frame. So,
well, Mitchell Greaves said that when they got her, that she'd already done such a really good rehab that they've just had to now fine tune and tweak to get her ready to get to be on field.
So it's all good signs. Yeah. It's all good signs. Can she? Is she going to be fit for round one? Based on what we're hearing,
I think so.
Yeah.
She was on the interchange.
She was on the interchange on the weekend
for the Saints game.
Yeah, so she should be good to go.
Yeah. So, but with the interchange, there was 8. I'm not sure if some did drop out because obviously they omitted a few.
Well, I mean, she'll be a good addition straight off the bat because I know last season she was hampered by that ACL, but all reports are saying that
huge upside,
massive upside, massive. She could be the pick of the bunch. I know we talk about Elise O'Day from Melbourne, but could easily be Maddie. Easily.
Yeah.
We've got Charlotte Hammonds as well, mm-hmm. from the Gold Coast Suns, wing half forward. Massive upside in the under 18 All Australian. Winnie Lang as well as another. A lot of power, another powerful player. Leader in the making is what we're seeing. And Daisy Walker, we've strengthened our backline with Daisy. With pick 28 in the women's draft. It'll be interesting to see if she can break into the side. Obviously, the notables will be Darcy Vecchio, dangerous as always around goals. Karen Harrington and Lala Foy. I hope I've pronounced that right. She looks like a gun.
Yeah,
she looks
very powerful athlete. Powerful.
She's strong as.
Yeah, so they're going to be two key defensive stalwarts. Taylor Harris, we need a big year from her as a key forward. I think if she has a big year, we have a big year. And then cream of the crop, rise to the top.
Thanks whatever for you coming. Want,
cherry on top.
Thanks I don't for coming, care.
Maddie Prasparkas. What a gun.
Do what you do.
Just
simple as that.
Go out there, do what you need to do.
She's the be all and end all.
She's
just another day at the office.
I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna buy an AFLW jumper for Gab, for my partner. She's an Essendon supporter, I don't care. with Prasparkas' number on it.
I'm gonna buy one of those big hands. Yeah. You know those big hands at point? I'm gonna buy one of those with her face on
it. Inflatables.
Right, so she sees it. So we're holding up.
Maddie,
do you reckon that's at the Carlton shop?
It has to be. If not, we want
it. On Thursday night, so tomorrow night, we're there.
We want it.
Yeah.
Prasparkas, do what you need to do. Gun midfielder, just rack it up, kick those goals. Hopefully another best and fairest. That'd be amazing.
It'd be pretty good.
That'd be amazing. So there are our player profiles and a couple of notables. Now, we've got a snippet from Brooke Walker here. She spoke with Terry on the Blue Abroad channel, did a little interview with Terry, and we've got a 2 or 3 minute exclusive here for the podcast boys.
Love it. We're bringing exclusives early as well.
How good's that?
Early.
We don't even have a following.
Is this just us trying to put a voice on?
I think it is. So let's hear from Brooke now. And her thoughts on the Saints preseason game and her thoughts in the lead up to round one.
Question for you. This is from a new podcast on our network called the Almost Blues Brothers. I want to know a little bit about the Collingwood game coming up and what you girls are looking to focus on for round one.
Yeah. Well, on the weekend we played St Kilda. I'll talk about that first before I get into Collingwood. And playing St Kilda was just a game for us to see where we're tracking, see what our structures are like, see what's working, what's not working potentially. And we left that game. We were happy, but we weren't fulfilled, if that makes sense. We're in a place at the moment where there's still some work to be done and there's still time to get that work done and there's still some learning to be done. And I think our JL midfield coach touched on that and that resonated with the group a lot. So we've been focusing on that at the moment. Obviously, that was just on Saturday, that St Kilda game. We got up by 2 points, which was awesome. Bree Moody had an absolute ripper of a game. I'll just put that one in there.
Love it.
Really stood out in that game, actually. But, yeah, now we're going to be looking towards Collingwood. We haven't really looked at them too much just yet. We've still got this week and next week. I think that's when we'll get into a bit more depth with the analysis of how they play, what they're aiming for, and how we play and what we're aiming for as well.
Yep. Yeah. No, fair enough. As I'm sure you're well aware what it means to play against Collingwood to the fans and to the club.
Yeah, absolutely. This rivalry is nothing that I've ever seen. I think even the Trans-Tasman rivalry in rugby, so, for example, Australia and New Zealand, I don't even think it's as big as the Collingwood and Carlton rivalry, and they're bloody around the corner from each other. But I'm really looking forward to seeing that day unfold, that round one day. Obviously, I wasn't here for the inaugural Carlton versus Collingwood AFLW season one. So it'll be really cool to experience that and see what that is all about now that we're playing, going back to Collingwood Carlton, not Collingwood Richmond. So I'm very much looking forward to that.
The first thing she said about the Saints game, which struck me, and in a good way, they were happy, but they weren't fulfilled. And I love that. It means that they're hungry.
They're hungry.
They are hungry for more. They're not going to rest on their laurels from last season. Regardless of whether you won the match or not, you won it by 2 points, which is good, like she said. But you want more.
These girls want blood. Yeah. Simple. They want blood and they want to win it.
Yeah, yeah.
Agreed. That's what their sights are.
I think they've got an understanding of the how Collingwood are our arch enemies. And well, obviously building up. I don't think they played it since round one in the
opener.
Yeah.
Not, I think
in maybe, terms of being an opening game.
I think in the second season they might have. Potentially.
But boys, imagine you're a player and what was taken away from you last year because of COVID, how much you would be burning.
Oh, they're burning.
You would be burning. Every team member would be burning. And you can see that.
Yeah.
Off that comment there, you can see that.
Oh, she was genuinely excited. And like I said, it excites me that they're looking for more. They're not yeah. resting on their laurels.
Yeah, the hunger and desire is there. You can tell.
She mentioned Bree Moody had a cracker, and she sounded really excited about Bree.
Yeah, well, because Bree didn't have the best of pre-seasons the year before. So now she's got a good pre-season under her belt. She's ready. Seems like she's ready to go.
Sounds like she's going to play a lot of ruck.
Yeah, yeah. And she played well ruck. In that role.
Yeah,
she's
yeah.
Well, had a lot of hit outs. 17?
Yeah.
17 hits. 9 disposals.
Kicked a goal.
So...
could be a big year for Bree. If Bree Moody has... like, we're talking about a lot of players having a big year, and it's a good thing because it means we've got so much potential on this side. Potential is one thing. You need to see it translate.
Just another string to our bow.
That's right. I think. Now, the last bit in Brooke's interview, and it'll lead into our preview. She's built up this rivalry as it should be. She compared the Carlton-Collingwood rivalry... to the All Blacks. I'm getting goosebumps. To the All Blacks and the Wallabies.
Look at my goosebumps. I've actually got goosebumps.
It's actually got the hairs in the back of my neck standing up.
From someone to say that has the culture, obviously being born in New Zealand, come here, I think she said, at the age of 13 or
yep,
so.
Yep.
To someone to say that, with that background, is just phenomenal.
Yeah, I think... she said she wasn't there for the inaugural game in the first season of AFLW. So it's going to be great to see Brooke absolutely tear this apart. There's going to be 9,000 there's 9,000 tickets that have gone on sale for this game. Victorian fans haven't gone to the football in over a year and a half. I'm going to be screaming my lungs out on Thursday night. I genuinely am. If I get violent, I'm sorry. I apologize.
How many times have you heard me? After a game, I have no voice.
Oh, it's gonna be one of those. Simple. And like I said last week, all right. And this is the last time I'll say it. But if it doesn't come to fruition, we've got a lot to talk about next week. Collingwood are stepping into our house.
Oh.
I don't care who you are, men's, women's, under 12s, AFL Evolution on PlayStation 4. They do not beat us at Princess Park.
They don't take our points.
No way. And I don't even think there needs a match preview of this because I think it's just win.
It's simple. Win at all costs.
You know your opponent. You know what it means. Win. There's How hard is it?
It's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. This rivalry is bigger than Ben-Hur.
Oh my God, he's dropped that.
It's massive. Yeah. People have forgotten how big this rivalry is. And the fact that we have not been to the footy in 18 months, yeah. Which makes me sick to my stomach.
Watch it on TV.
I am so excited to be getting to Princess Park tomorrow night. This is like Christmas Eve. I'm not going to sleep. It's bigger. It's like Christmas Eve. So we will preview the game a little bit. There's a couple of things. There's one player from Collingwood in particular.
I'm not previewing it. I'm not previewing the game.
Dan.
It's win.
I understand from... all right, that's your... Dan's prediction.
I'm staying quiet.
Everyone, Dan's
quiet. Because I know done. It's win.
Everyone, Dan's done for the day. He's clocked off.
He's putting his numbers.
I've got one player.
Good night.
I've got one player. Okay? And if there's any chance she's listening to this podcast... Bree Davey, you are a woman marked.
O'Day.
I hope O'Day goes through, that's all I'm saying.
Hard.
Bree Davey, you're going to cop it. You captained this club, you went to that filth, and you're now captain of that filth. This is, I'm going to say one thing as a Carlton supporter. This is like Cripper going across to Collingwood and captaining their club. If that doesn't make
your stomach... Don't paint that in my head.
If that doesn't make your stomach turn and that doesn't make you want blood. Let's not get too violent. But
Elise O'Day, if you are listening, take her out.
No.
Take her out.
I don't want to see concussions. but I want to see her get hit hard. He's done. He wants to see a knockout blow. Look at him. Look how content he is.
I'm not saying anything. You know my opinion on the
Bree Davy, I'm telling you now, we're going to be on the fence. I'm going to be hammering you if you come near that fence. I'm going to be in your ear. The rest of the girls need to be in her ear. That's not good enough. That's not good enough. You don't leave a club as a captain and go to that filth as their
Can't
captain.
Happen. Can't happen.
So that's number one. Public enemy number one.
At all seriousness, Park. They did beat North Melbourne.
They did.
In pre-season. By so 12 huge. Points.
That's huge.
I have done a bit of delving into a few things, and apparently they had a strong connection around the ground, and they were very, very clean in possession. Okay, so they were very happy about that, and they're very quietly confident about going into round one against Carlton.
Yeah.
They've got a few good players. Now, the best and fairest winner last year, Jamie Lambert. Okay, she's in that midfielder, average 22.3, strong, classy, and also very dangerous in forward 52. A day needs to go to her.
I agree.
A day needs to go to her.
Yep. If Guerin plays, I think they both rotate on. If Davey plays a little bit in midfield, which I know she's pinch hit a little bit. But, yeah, so I think they rotate between the two. There's a couple of other players on the watch for Collingwood. Chloe Malloy finished equal first in the VFLW goal kicking. She was 19 years old. And they got a couple of new players in there. Abby Green, Alicia Newman. And if you're, Tani Brown, one of my Collingwood mates from work was pumping up Tani Brown. So I'm excited to see what she brings. Yeah. But again, we'll someone has to just go through it.
O'Day, you heard me.
Bree Davies, a marked woman. She's a marked woman. That's it. Episode two. It flies by. It actually flies by. Before we finish up, Carlton supporters out there, the club's AFLW members, they're going to be given priority to attend in 2021, along with free entry to all five of the Blues home games, with for those with a $100 or $200 package. As always, those 100% of those proceeds go towards supporting the women's football program. If you're not able to purchase that members pack, just get to as many games as possible. A banjo, Patterson, $10 note. That's all it's going to cost.
That's
them.
It.
It's a banjo.
Yeah.
That's it. Go out and support the girls.
Dan's put more on Maltese, I can promise you that.
That's actually true.
So actually crisp tenner out of the pocket, out of your pocket to go support the girls. Let's get as many there this year as possible.
Yeah. Especially this round one game.
Round one's massive.
Yeah,
and Icon Park too.
I want a party at Icon Park.
Same.
I want a party.
I want, and then I want 40,000 people there.
At Icon Park.
He wants 40,000 people. What's it? We have to end it there.
40,000
people. Let's end it there.
Guys, thank you very much. Thanks for tuning in. It's been a pleasure again. Dan, Jules.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening.
Calm the Blues.
Calm the Baggers.